Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, I hope you don't mind. I just said a little prayer. It only takes a couple of seconds, you know. I said a prayer for all the people that listen to our show, all the people that love us. And I said a special prayer for our little Cameron and middle sister Monica and big sister Nancy. We're all here doing the best we can, y'all. We're not perfect. In fact, I've been sitting here chomping on some chocolate in between the breaks, trying to grab me a quick bite to eat. I can throw this out there. Y'all, poor old Pappy or the Mama Deer, whichever you would like to say, I had to get off. I had soaking wet running shorts on, soaking wet shirt, because I had to run right into this microphone. I had to fire that computer up. And Sam was talking to me on the headphones and on my phone saying, hey, don't panic, man. Calm down. You're good. The girls are there. Sister Nancy, Sister Monica are there. It's all good. And he was probably really cussing me in his mind. But anyway, that's what we do sometimes. It probably wasn't good judgment to do what I did this morning, trying to do too many things, wear too many hats. But that truck of mine has just been bulletproof. And, I mean, I went like the wind on my run. You know, I do this run downtown and back as a cross-train thing. And then I ran over we're talking about bridges during the break. I ran over what they call the Harbortown Bridge and back several times this morning to get working and get ready for those bridges in New York City. Because people, I got to tell you one more thing. We're all human here, and I'll let you know a little bit about what us human beings do, the people that you listen to every week. November the 6th, God willing, my precious oldest daughter is taking me to New York. She said it's I can't remember if it's pay back, pay up, pay sideways, left. I think she says it's paying back. To whip
pay
me
forward.
And her, pay it forward. Well, she said that I was a good dad when we came up. You know, I know it's going to shock y'all, and so she said she's doing this for me. She told me to shut the hell up and quit talking about how much money she was spending or her blankety blank money. She would throw it away if she wanted to. She told me to shut up. I was such a good dad when I was young. She's footing the bill, taking me to New York City, and I'm just so I can run this New York marathon. And I'm doing it for St. Jude. And, y'all, I know that will have nothing to do with what we're talking about tonight, but I just let you know we're all human here, and sometimes you like to know about the people that are sitting behind the microphone here and in Canada and in Kentucky or wherever, all points, Alabama. We have people hosting for Alabama. Anyway, I guess way off track, but I would like to make a comment on what we were talking about before we go back to our dear sisters, and I love them to death. I consider them my blood sisters. They're talking about music. You know, music goes all the way back to the Old Testament, people. If you read the Old Testament, God says, make a joyful noise to him. As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, I wasn't a Christian at all. I went to church for one reason, to get the cookies and the Kool-Aid and so we could play basketball and stuff like that at Bellevue Baptist, which is one of the largest whorehouses in the United States now because they've been taken over. They've been infiltrated by the Satan. They believe in all this race mixing. They believe in BLM. They believe all that crap. But anyway, they had one of their old hymns there, and it said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I'm sure a lot of you older people will remember that. But that music didn't just come here yesterday or Adolf Hitler's day or Jefferson Davis' day. It's been here, and it's been a thing of beauty. It's pulled people out of the dumps. When they're down low, they found out. I'm a big runner. I'm going to shut up just a second. I got to tell you one more thing. It's been a recent finding that kids, and I used to give them hell for wearing their earbuds and listening to all that crappy music when they're running. But if you listen to good music, it's been found. It helps your heart health, your cardiovascular health. And you hear these people say, oh, I'm working, I'm doing cardio. Well, cardio is not the proper term. It's aerobic. Aerobics is the proper term. And I know this is a rabbit trail, but I'll shut it up. A doctor by the name of Dr. Ken Cooper, who started the running craze back in the 70s, he wrote a book called Aerobics. Anyway, when you're running and you wear earbuds and you're listening to music, it can actually help you endure pain. it can help you, helps you. It's a healthy thing. That is, and this lets us pervert it and turn into this ugly, crappy stuff that the Jews have put upon us. And what's and also with this rap music. But I gotta shut up. Who's taking over now? Is it Sister
I'll
Nancy?
Just say one. I'll just say one thing there, Eddie. I didn't say it correctly when you were looking for the word. What your daughter did for you, I think she was paying you back. But anyway,
sure was.
Nancy had just finished before the top of the hour with something very important. So why don't you take it from there and tell us what you need to go do?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I got a minor in art from a college in Kentucky. And at any rate, I'm wanting a refund, a total refund, because some of the things they taught me were about modern art, such as the how great Picasso was and how wonderful Van Gogh was. Now, these are both clowns. And my father even mentioned to me that he thought Van Gogh was not a good artist. Well, I don't think he is either, but those are the kinds of things that students are learning in art, and they're when they go to these museums, they're displaying this, I think, inadequate, people with inadequate skill, let's put it that way. They are not really skilled technicians. They're not really skilled artists. They are just clowns. And somehow or other, they become, because of the influence by the left and the Jews, they are now elevated to being great artists, which they're really not. So that's just my take, and I'm hoping to get a refund. I don't know, maybe too late.
Good. Yeah, you'll have to report back to that on your progress to get that refund. I think so, too. I think a lot of us should get refunds from the institutions that we might have, you know, gone to get so-called higher education or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Nancy, this might be a good time to segue into this story, since we're talking about music or things that really aren't music. But there, in South Africa recently, a decision was brought down by a court about this thing that they call a song, I guess, or it's a rap. I'm not sure exactly what you would call it, but it's called Kill the Boer. And maybe I'm not pronouncing that quite right, the Boers. Kill the Boer. It's something that was chanted at quite a few rallies, like these EFF, that's Economic Freedom Fighter rallies. And so there was a group, an organization called AfriForum, which they were arguing in through the courts, arguing that this song, if you can call it that, incites violence and fuels farm murders, like the murder of farmers, white farmers, because it's Kill the Boer. And they were chanting this, and this was, you know, I mean, I don't know how you can call it anything but something that would incite violence against whites. Okay, right. So what was the outcome of that? So this just came down, I think, last week. The court said, it's not an instruction. Like, the song does not constitute instructions. It must be protected under the rubric of free speech. And this is how it ended up. Maybe you'd like to comment about that.
Well, yeah, they say it's not hate speech. This Julius Malema, he's a black activist. He's an anti-white activist. And he would publicly sing these songs, Shoot or Kill the Boer, which the Boers are the Dutch Afrikaners.
I've heard
that
song.
The words are in Zulu or Xhosa, the Xhosa language. And, of course, the Afrikaners, they understand the native languages, so they probably understood very well what was being said. And some years ago, it was outlawed that Julius Malema was not allowed to sing this song in public. Of course, it encourages the violence against whites. Well, you know, of course it does. So this year, a black judge, Edwin Molahela, said that he ruled that this song is not hate speech. I mean, this is so typical of what we're looking forward to and what's happening in this country in many respects. The only hate speech in this country is hate speech that is supposedly directed at blacks. It's never directed at us. We are
or
not,
Jews.
We are not
or at Jews.
Right.
Or at
we
Jews.
Are, that's right. We are never victims. We are not victims. We cannot be victims. We
no,
are,
but
it's impossible for us to be victims.
In fact, I'll just interject there, Nancy. I'm not sure where this, whether it was the court that said this, like the judge, but he says the case by the racists, and they're referring to this case of the group which is arguing that this song is hate speech and it's inciting violence, and they were trying to get it banned. And so even just to refer to this group that is concerned about those lyrics, which are inciting people to kill the farmers and whatnot, they're just calling them racist. They're saying the case by the racists. I mean, it doesn't get any more Orwellian. You cannot imagine it to get any more backwards. Now, just for one instance, reverse the roles here. And I mean, we are charged with hate speech just for pointing out things that a certain group of people do. I mean, that's called hate speech. So what a contrast. Sorry, I interjected rather long there. Go carry on with what
saying. I mean, you're quite right. I was going to mention, we were talking about how the LGBTQ might have influenced South Africa.
Sister Nancy, there's the music. We have to go to our first break of the second hour. So if you will, people, hold on. We'll be right back to you after this break right here.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Oh, God bless you, dear Blood River Radio family and people. Thank you for tuning in to our program. Thank you for supporting us. I'd like to pitch this out one more time, a series that I'm really excited about that I talked about the first hour. We have a fellow, he's Army Special Forces. He's done all the stuff that you go see the movies, you know. He wasn't just a regular grunt combat medic like me. You know, combat. That's what he did up close and personal. He was too young for Vietnam, but he's been, he's been in Pakistan, Afghanistan. He's been all over. Kind of reminds me of General Nick Glastovic. General Nick Glastovic is, and this won't be too bad of a rabbit trail, I promise y'all. General Nick Glastovic, I wish I could get in contact with him. I'm so worried about him. He used to call in our show all the time. He loved our program. We loved each other like brothers. Cannot get in touch with him. I'm afraid something's happened to him. He's over there in Croatia, and you know what's going on over there in Ukraine and Russia. But anyway, he went into the Canadian Army when he was 17 years old, did 5 years in the Canadian Army. He went and did a 3-year hitch in the French Foreign Legion, fought in the Croatian War of Independence. Anyway, and that's one of my little rabbit trails. But people, if you will forgive me, I temporarily forgot why I brought that up. But I'd like to make this announcement here. Oh, I know what it was. I now remember. Okay, this guy, we're bringing in Army Special Forces. And we may bring this ex-Marine in, I don't know. But the Army Special Forces guy, I will tell you one more time in case you're just tuning in late. We're going to have a complete series in detail. We're going to tell you how to prepare yourself for the coming cataclysm. You can call it a civil war. You can call it a breakdown of society. You can call it the government, the so-called government, the criminal cabal we have in Washington, D.C., in New York, coming after us people, us 73 million people, they say, that voted for Trump, which, the people that think like us, people that like the Blood River Radio, when they start coming to you door-to-door to get your guns, to take you people to the concentration camps, the people that won't take the jab, well, you'll know what to do. When they start plowing up the highways for their Agenda 2021, Agenda 33, and they start stop the supplies and come into the city. When all hell breaks loose, you'll know what to do if you listen to the show, because we're going to teach you how to store food, medicine, water, ammunition. We're going to teach you how to keep your bug out bags ready to go where you can get in a minute's notice. Get the hell out of town. We're going to teach you how to purchase a great firearm. I don't really like ARs, but that seems to be all the rage now. But we're going to teach you how to get a firearm to keep it running, proper ammunition, how to use that firearm, how to get yourself in physical condition, how to find 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 men you can get together in cells. 10 cells, 20 cells, 100 cells. Hopefully the more cells, the better. So different cells with no centralized command, because centralized commands can be infiltrated in the head honchos of centralized command. They can be killed. So, but anyway, that's just kind of, hope I didn't take up too much time, but we're going to start that series probably around the 1st of October. So y'all be looking for that. And people, if you will, if you could start, people that aren't donating, if you could, and I hate to ask for money, but if you could start sending in some donations, we have a lot of, we would like to go to the third hour, and where there's some field operations I would like to go go on the road and do. Some active getting in the streets, taking action. It takes money. So, so be it. If I don't like to ask for money, but it takes money to do this. It takes money for airtime. Anyway, I'm going to shut up. And I have a couple other announcements, but I've already gone past it. So we'll go back to Sister Monica.
Sure. Sure, I'll take it.
Hope I didn't take up too much of your time. I'm sorry.
I think it's really, really important what you're talking about there, because, you yourself have always wanted us to talk about solutions, and this is, actual on-the-ground really important stuff. So I just want to underline that, and it's you don't have to apologize for taking time to talk about those things. That's the most important thing, really. The other stuff we talk about is background, so that you know why why we want to do these things and take actions. But anyway, if I may introduce another topic that we had wanted to cover today, and I don't know how much gets this coverage, I don't know how much coverage this gets in the United States, probably some, but not nearly as much as here, but it would be the death of the Queen. You all have heard about that, I would guess, yes?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good. So anyway, of course, you know, the Commonwealth countries, and Canada is one of those, and I'm in Canada, so that's a really, really big deal. And she was the reigning monarch for 70 years. I do believe that's the longest in the history of the British monarch. Anyway, so she died this week, and now Charles, her son Charles, I think he's 73 years old, he has ascended to the throne. A lot of people have very nice impression of Queen Elizabeth. She was always very dignified and regal and seemed like quite the lady. However, there is some background behind her that is not really that nice. And before I go into, you know, one of the stories about her, and I'm sure there's many more, but the new king, he's not coronated yet, but he is basically the new king, that's Charles. This is a man who we need to watch out about too, because he has this new agenda, you know, one world, new agenda, the new world order, first and foremost, and he's right on to this climate change thing, which, you know, I have also learned in recent years they're lying to us about that. And, you know, for example, last year at the COP26 meeting, that's an annual meeting they have about climate change, mm-hmm. We need a vast military-style campaign in our approach to climate change. This is what he said, you know. So he's right onto that. So we better watch out about that. And he, you know, they say that this is a figurehead position, but I think not. I think it has a lot more going on. So, but about the Queen, in 1964, 10 children from reservations, so these were Native kids, Indian children, they went on a picnic with the Queen and Prince Philip, her husband, and they never came back. They never Jeez. Came back. And, you know, you may never have heard about this because...
I
you know,
did not.
No.
Yeah.
I
who owned...
Miss Marker, repeat that, if you will. That is so... That is dynamite. That's a... Mind, but
yeah.
If you don't mind, repeat that again, because I'm sure there's other people out there. I've got these Vietnam ears. Run that by that again one more time. That's shaking. That's shake. Or that's ground shaking.
And this is not just a rumor. Like this was, I mean, this is well documented. Those grieving parents, they are still there. They're seething mad. But you would think, oh, well, of course we would have heard about it if it happened. Well, that's just like, of course we would all know that 9/11 was a, you know, Israeli job, if it really was, because we would know, right? The same thing. And of course we would know that the Holocaust is just a fantasy. Of course we would know. Well, why? Why do you not know about it? Of course.
Well, who runs the media?
The media, right. So, but there is this common law, International Common Law Court of Justice in Brussels, this exists, and they found her guilty of this crime. And there was an order to arrest Queen Elizabeth that was issued in 2013 by six judges of that ICL, like the International Common Law Court. And then there was somebody who, what's his name here? Let me just look this up quickly. He was bringing it up and saying, hey, how come she hasn't been arrested yet? And then he was put into jail. And drugged, okay, Cunningham was his name here, I'm just finding his last name, but he was pursuing it. So anybody who has pursued this with the police or the authorities, and why haven't you arrested her yet? And there is this warrant out for her, but nobody dares arrest her. And then those people who try to get that to happen, they end up in jail or in a psych ward, being drugged up, this kind of thing. So yeah, this
very interesting.
1964, these 10 children disappeared. They never were returned. And, you know, couple that with something that happened more recently where that naked boy was jumping out of a window there at the palace in London, I believe. And so that was on video. Somebody caught that on film. Anyway, things go on there. And have been going on. They're not nice. And I'll leave it there because I hear the music.
Well, folks, Miss Sister Monica's right. She heard the music. So we'll go to this break and we'll come right back to Sister Monica. I haven't heard of any of that, so I can't wait to hear the rest of it. Be right back.
Yeah. Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The latest consumer price index shows that inflation is still above 8% year over year. Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, criticizes the Biden administration for choosing to celebrate the Inflation Reduction Act during a Tuesday White House event when prices are still high.
While American families can't afford gas, groceries, or electricity, Washington Democrats partied on the White House lawn to celebrate their policies.
In a statement, the president noted that it will take more time to bring inflation down. Russian troops have withdrawn from a city in southern Ukraine and are now on their way to Crimea, which was annexed by Moscow before the invasion. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky pledges that his military will go to Crimea as it is their land and their people.
My message to people from Crimea, we know that it's our people. It's a terrible tragedy that they have provided since more than 8 years.
As pro-life pregnancy centers continue to be attacked, the Department of Justice remains silent. From the USA Radio News West Coast News Bureau, Lance Pry has the details.
Not a single arrest has been made in more than a dozen attacks on pro-life organizations across the country, claimed by left-wing pro-abortion group Jane's Revenge. Jane's Revenge had claimed responsibility for at least 18 arson and vandalism attacks on crisis pregnancy centers. Zero arrests by the FBI or Department of Justice.
Queen Elizabeth is now lying in state at Westminster Hall after a procession from Buckingham Palace. A service was held in her honor with members of the royal family in attendance. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Paid for by GovMint.com.
Have you heard? The United States Mint has issued the Morgan Silver Dollar for the first time in 100 years. Not only that, but they are also minted in 99.9% pure silver for the first time ever in history. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone that knows the enduring popularity of Morgans. But you must hurry. Only 175,000 legal tender silver dollars were issued. These Morgan Silver Dollars are brand new, bright and shiny legal tender coins minted by the iconic Philadelphia Mint. Just call 1-800-888-7630 and you are guaranteed a new 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. The first time in history this has happened. But with limited quantities, you must call now to order. To learn more, call 1-800-888-7630. If you order now, you will receive a free collector bonus, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-888-7630 now to secure your new Morgan silver dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-888-7630.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something.
Oh, precious Blood River Radio family. We're getting into some heavy stuff, stuff that I used to read about, golly, 40, 50 years ago, and precious... Dr. Stanley Monteith was educated me a lot of the stuff of the occult. And I'll just, this will be a quick aside. Dr. Stanley Monteith graduated. I've heard they call him Straight A Monteith. Graduated from Stanford University Medical School at 19. He was an incredible genius. I was so blessed. I was able to talk to him, call him on the phone, and he talked about some of the stuff that Miss Sister Monica is telling you about right now of the occult. And you should not be surprised, especially if you're a Christian. Even if you're not a Christian, civilizations all over the world have always known, even if you're not a Christian, that there's this great force of good that some the American Indians call the evil spirit, great spirit. They also knew about evil spirits. Evil spirits have been around forever. And it fits right into Scripture. Jesus Christ, one of the miracles he did, he exorcised demons. So, and I'm going to tell you something else. Satan is not an atheist. Satan believes in God. Satan knows all about Jesus Christ. So, you know, this stuff we're talking about, these people, these royal family, people like Benjamin Franklin, people like that, that participated in this evil crap. They were under the influence of Satan. And that's all I can say a lot more about that, but I'm going to shut up. I'm going to go right back to you, dear Sister Monica. I guess I can't hit myself sure. One of the damn rabbit trails.
Yeah, no, I know I probably, for many people, this was a bombshell, what I just said, and they might just dismiss it, but you can research this online. There's quite a lot about it online. And you might wonder, well, why doesn't somebody talk about it? Why don't they talk about it? Well, an example of what happens to somebody who does talk about it, here's a concrete example, and I'm sure this is just one of many. Former Kamloops school resident William Coombs died after a 2010 radio interview where he discussed witnessing Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip leave the school with his 10 friends and fellow Kamloops residents. Directly after the interview, the healthy Coombs was ordered to report for tests at the Vancouver St. Paul's Catholic Hospital. There, he was given an injection that put him into a coma. Within hours, and without consent of his family members, Coombs was permanently pulled off of life support. So that's, you know, one example of what would happen, what does happen when somebody who actually, well, he was a child himself at the time, watched his friends get taken away and not return, right? Yeah, and Nancy, you had mentioned, I'm not sure if it was on air or off air, but we were looking at a photograph of Balmoral Castle and some special visitors there. Do you want to mention, talk about that?
Ooh, that gives me the creeps. I know a lot about that. Go ahead, Miss Nancy.
Well, yeah, it was a picture of Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. And then there was another photograph of the same position. It looked like a wooden cabin or an outdoor cabin. The Queen was seated in the exact same seat in another photograph. Well, of course, we did. It was pretty well known that at least Ghislaine Maxwell was very familiar with the royal family, and with and Andrew was
that's right.
Her friend. But I think the interesting aspect for me is the history of Ghislaine's father, who was a Russian spy, but he was a reporter or owned newspapers in London, in England, Robert Maxwell. Of course, when they outed him and he became known as a spy for Russia, he was lauded in Israel. I think that's where he's buried. But I think it's odd that they took up with, maybe it's not peculiar, took up with her daughter, with his daughter, Ghislaine.
Oh, you mean that
seems
the royal
unusual.
Took up?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it's not unusual.
Yeah, given some of this other information about them, I guess it's not unusual at all, is
mm-hmm.
it? And yes,
mm-hmm.
it was Prince Andrew, so that is the brother of Charles, and I guess he has been absolved of any royal duties, maybe forevermore. I'm not sure, because his association with Epstein became very public, right? And so. But, you know, who's to say that he's the only one in the family that has these close associations or had these close associations with Epstein?
Oh, that's right.
I mean, for them, for Epstein and Maxwell to visit at the Balmoral Castle, and that's quite a cozy little place that not just anybody goes.
Mm-hmm,
I think
mm-hmm,
that there's
mm-hmm.
deeper connections there. And, yeah, so... You know, think it's kind. Sorry, go ahead, Nancy.
I was just going to say that I resent the fact that our media has honed in on Prince Andrew and his, sex with one of the young girls, when mm-hmm. we know that some of our own people have been involved. Like, you know, we got the Clintons. And unfortunately, it looks like even Trump, a lot of them have been to, were friends of Epstein's and had been to his enclaves. So, I mean, it's why do we care? We care too, you know, the media is just covering up with what our Americans have done and picking on someone who is overseas. I mean, that I find very ironic.
It's so interesting. I think it's very interesting, though, that for you, and you're not a Commonwealth country, that's what the media can do there is, oh, just rat on these other people but not your own. And then here, I would say here, that gets hushed up more. Yes, it came out, but it's not talked about very much. In fact, when the Queen died, there was just one little mention of something about sex scandals in the family, and then that was it. Everything else in the mainstream coverage that I picked up on anyway, it's not like I'm glued to the mainstream, I just listen in to see what they're telling the masses, but then it was just all this, you know, wonderful stuff about the lovely Queen and the you know, all her lifelong achievements and everything, and then the focus shifts gradually over to Prince Charles becoming the king, and there's nothing more. They just mention it kind of like in the first 24 hours after 9/11 happened. That's when the mainstream media did talk about Building 7, but after the first 24 hours, that was it. Never again did mainstream media talk about Building 7. It's kind of the same thing, you know, they got to tell us, they got to say these things, but then that's it.
Right.
So,
right.
But, you know, I was going to bring up something else about the Kamloops story about those children disappearing.
Sister Nancy, Sister
yeah, go ahead.
Monica, could I chime in here? Probably,
yes.
This is just my take. Probably one of the reasons you hear, I know Sister Nancy said that, the news media is all too busy to jump on Prince Andrew and the Queen. Well, could it be that's because they are just the consumers, like you have the when they bust these drug lords, you don't ever hear them hardly busting these gigantic drug lords. They always get the little people, these teenagers they catch, with a roach or two, the little crack whore, excuse the expression, that are, you know, maybe selling just enough to one of their friends to have it take a trip on crack or LSD, whatever it is. But they don't go after the purveyor, they don't go after the big boys, and the big boys here is supplying sex all over the world. If you've got enough money, if you're a millionaire or billionaire, you can have a little boy of your dreams, a little girl of your dreams, whatever. You have to go to, we all know who controls the sex trafficking in the world. You don't hear them busting these Jews. I was kind of surprised when they busted this Ghislaine Maxwell, because evidently they threw her to the lions to save themselves. But maybe I'm wrong there, you know, because, you know, I know Ghislaine Maxwell was a Jew, Epstein was a Jew, but, you know, Epstein's no longer around to tell the tale. Anyway, I hope I wasn't too far off. There's a lot we could talk about that. The Franklin cover-up and Dr. McDonald, who was a Green Beret doctor, he was done away with because he was set up to be as a fall guy for this stuff, you know, this occult stuff. FBI Inspector Ted Gunderson, Senator John DeCamp. We could do two more shows on that. But anyway, I didn't want to get too far-fetched. But, Miss, do you think, why have any of these, anyway, I guess I'll shut up. I was just going to say, I wonder why any of this stuff doesn't go back to Israel, where the sex trafficking, the organ trafficking, you know, where they harvest organs to the heart of the highest donor. It's all centered in Israel, folks. That's why one of the advantages of the Jews having their own nation up there in this little Israel, because they can do all their crimes they want to without other nations, toning in. And I've took him up so much time. People, we got to go to our last break, and I'm sorry I rattled off too much about that. But we'll be right back, folks, after this break.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help. And thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, dear, God bless you, excuse me, dear Blood River Radio people. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in. And I can't believe this show has gone so fast. We're going right back to Sister Monica. I'm going to shut up. I've already rattled too much. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Well, we were talking about the Queen and the children that never came back to their parents after they went on a picnic with the Queen in 1964. And let's just juxtapose on that story the more recent headline news all over the world, and they keep on harping on it again and again. And here in Canada, it's just about 24/7 all about the natives. And it's kind of like for you in the United States, it's all about the blacks who are so hard done by because the whites are all so bad, 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 and, you know, have been so bad. And so here it's the natives. That's sort of a parallel story. But anyway, I think it's a couple of years ago by now where the mass graves story came out about the native children being put in, you know, murdered and put in mass graves at the residential schools. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's come to the present now. And I challenge you to unearth the evidence that they have found a single body in any mass grave here in Canada. There were cemeteries. There were normal cemeteries. This was just normal cemeteries. And, you know, there were sometimes outbreaks of sicknesses that where kids died. Some kids in the residential schools died, but kids outside of the residential schools died too. And so there were normal cemeteries. And some of these stories came out about areas where actually some of the elders themselves, like the native elders themselves, said, hey, those aren't unknown graves. We know who's in there. It's just the crosses, the old wooden crosses, you know, they went by the wayside. Nobody replaced them. But no, those aren't sort of, you know, unknown and mass graves. No, that kind of thing, right? But those stories don't get reported. It's only this made-up story where they did some ground-penetrating I don't know, do they call it ground penetrating radar or something where they they find, oh, there's anomalies. Well, it could be that it was tree roots or whatever. I mean, they never unearthed any. So, yeah, I'll just pass it over to you if you want to comment about that. Go ahead, Nancy.
I've heard that they didn't find what they were hoping to find, I guess, or what they alleged was there. I'm going to bring up something that I've done my own research, and I know this to be true. My German ancestors came early to this country, 1714, 1717, the Hits and the Jaegers. And I've done my own research so that I could, I was always interested anyway, so that I could become a DAR, which really is just a name, but some of my ancestors did fight for the revolution, supported the revolution. That's the way you become a DAR. But in my research, I found that my early German ancestors did have slaves. I'm not embarrassed to state to say that at all. It was very common. It must have been extremely common for someone that came to this country, didn't speak English, and within the first generation they had created not only a, they had a farm, but they also had a little business of sorts, selling groceries and whatnot, and they apparently had slaves. Well, I've also read the at least one will in which they state that there's upon their the death of the master of the family that the slaves have the right to select their owner, which would lead me to believe that these people were not under extreme duress. At least
right.
This is, I think, was probably common practice, that at least the blacks who were closest to the family were not, certainly not mistreated. And I've even
right.
read, this is again, you know, like Eddie was talking about, the blacks do want to, their hatred comes not from history. It really comes from their mammy.
Right. Yeah. Oh, it gets pumped into them. It gets inside. Like Israel Cohen in 1913 basically said, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but you're probably familiar with that. He said that we will incite hatred in the blacks against the whites, and we will make the whites feel guilty. And we will raise up the blacks by promoting them in the sports and in the theater and whatnot in the different areas of life, that they will come up and the whites will go down because they're all guilty and feeling kind of, you know, bad about everything. And then this will come, you know, fulfill our program, our desired program, well, basically the communist program.
You know, back to South Africa just briefly. Before 1974, South Africa was a very conservative religious country. In fact, when I was in South Africa, you couldn't find a girly magazine on the racks. So they were very strict, I guess, Dutch conservatives. And today, of course, if you look up what's going on in South Africa, it's pretty much open territory. Although, in general, we were talking about this during the break, that the blacks pretty much are against a gay lifestyle. The blacks in South Africa, I don't know about here.
Yeah, that's interesting. But that's a whole nother chapter that we can talk about.
Absolutely.
Maybe in a future show. The LGBTQ agenda and how that actually sickens us and sickens our whole society and is also, you know, promoted by the usual suspects, actually.
Well,
back to the slavery thing, I know on another show that you were talking about your ancestors themselves being
indentured servants, so they were really were slaves, for about 8 years,
Okay,
but, you know, back
you
to
go.
The Queen, you wanted my opinion, and I have always had a good opinion of the Queen, and I've always really respected her. Having lived in England, I think I told you in an email that I mistakenly respected Winston Churchill, too.
There you go. That tells the story,
doesn't
it?
That was a mistake. A huge mistake.
So you're drawing some parallels there, are you, Nancy?
Maybe. Well, he was certainly found out later what a warmongering scumbag drunkard he was a half Jew on top of everything else you could say about him.
Yeah, and I do believe there's quite a lot of Jewish blood in the royals, and I have a friend who could talk a lot more about that. I'll defer to him. Maybe, you know, I'll ask him some more about that.
Let's comment on that.
Back to this thing in Brussels where you said there was kind of a 2013 statement, or they were going to maybe arrest the Queen on these allegations from 1964. Do they think that these children were ultimately killed? Is that what they're coming?
Or
abducted or just used for sex slaves or nobody
right.
really knows.
Well, definitely abducted, that's for sure. Now, as far as the International Common Law Court, I don't know if they made the specific accusations that the children were murdered. But in my opinion, from all the, you know, reading I've done and learning I've done about what's going on with children, is that they would have been murdered, and that they would have been murdered in a very bad way so as to torture them. And, you know, there's child sacrifice, and there's this adrenochrome thing that is very, it's more expensive, or how would you say, than gold, because it's this thing that these people take and keeps them young and happy or whatever, and has no negative side effects. It's like their drug of choice, and it comes from the terrified children's blood, because they have adrenaline coursing through their blood, and then they consume this. I mean, it's just so horrific that I never dreamed a few years ago that one day I'd be talking on the radio about this stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's just unreal, but it happens. It's the currency in Hollywood, is what I'm told. It's basically like a currency in Hollywood, you know, this adrenochrome. And that whole Pizzagate stuff, you know, the symbols that, like, this is all, it's so deep, the child sacrifice. And it goes back thousands of years. I mean, when Jews were kicked out of countries time after time after time, it wasn't only because of their subversion in governments and their ruination of countries by other means, but it was also that they would get caught with, you know, taking children and sacrificing them, and that would be the ultimate.
I've read about that. I've read about that.
There's a great book called, if you get it, The Franklin Cover-Up. I think I've mentioned it several times before, written by Nebraska State Senator John DeCamp. And he talks all about that. He's I don't have a lot much time to talk about it, but he being the state senator, he was real friends with Bill, William Colby, a.k.a. Bill Colby of the CIA when they were in Vietnam. And they brought Ted Gunderson, who was the head honcho of the FBI special agent in California. They all got tied up in investigating this this Satan worship, child sacrificing, and every one of them were brought down, so to speak. You know, Ted Gunderson choked on a chicken bone, I believe. So Senator John DeCamp, he's dead now. Senator John DeCamp had 14 people on his staff that died of mysterious circumstances looking into this. And this has been years ago. All this stuff you girls are talking about is documented. Senator John DeCamp said it goes all the way, and you hear this country here, it goes from Omaha, Nebraska, all the way to Washington, D.C., and above Washington, D.C. It was widespread. You can look up the Washington Times articles, what they talked about, when they sainted Reagan was in the White House, when they were bringing these male prostitutes in and out. Before we run out of time, I'd just like to mention this real quickly, just announcement, y'all. I want to go to the federal building very soon. People, if there's any listeners who would like to go with me, I want to go downtown to the federal building. I want to see the federal prosecutor, and I want to go down there, and I want to ask, why has Eliza Fletcher's murder, why has that man that killed her, why has he not been charged with a hate crime? And I want to do that and insist upon that. And I'd like to take it to the streets with signs, especially in front of the United States Federal Building downtown. We could also go on other streets in Memphis. But people, if anybody out there would like to join me, I could need some help. Send me an email, eddie@bloodriverradio.com. It's on our website. I just want to make that quick. And that, well, hell, there's the music. I thought we had a dear.
Thanks,
Ms.
Eddie.
Thank you.
Stayed with us.
Well, I'm glad y'all stay with me. Thank you so much, Miss Monica. Thank you so much, Miss Nancy. Thank you, Cameron. Thank you, Blood River Radio audience. I just remind you, we'll have a pre-recorded show next week. We'll be back with you probably on Saturday, the 1st of October. God bless you, people. Thanks for tuning in. Good night, everybody.